Well, good evening. Welcome to our service here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. If you have a Bible, if you would please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as we prepare our hearts for our Lord's table here for the month of December. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'd just like to spend a few moments just reflecting upon the doctrine of salvation, and as we prepare our hearts to partake at our Lord's table, the Lord's table is an opportunity for us to stop and reflect and rejoice in God's salvation that He has provided for us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's read verses 3 and 4, the third and fourth verse once again. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in church this evening, and we pray, O God in heaven, that You would now fill us with Your Holy Spirit, that You would guide our thoughts, and may our minds be focused upon the Lord Jesus and His provision of salvation on our behalf. And I pray that You'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need. And as we draw nigh to You, O God, I pray that You would draw nigh to us. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Within these verses we have a summary of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. The Gospel involves a personal and visible death, burial and resurrection. Death, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us that the Gospel is in its completion. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again. That is the complete and full Gospel. Nothing more, nothing less. And it's that Gospel that provides salvation for you and I. And the Apostle Paul writes there in verse number 2, "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you." So the Apostle Paul was encouraging the church at Corinth to be mindful and to rejoice in the Gospel, the good news, which he declared, and by which also we are saved and redeemed eternally by God's grace. It is the Gospel that saves us from sin. The doctrine of salvation, as one man said, deals with God rescuing or saving man from the results of sin. God rescues man from the power of sin, enabling a rescued man to live a holy life. Also from the penalty of sin, giving a rescued man a release from hell. And from the presence of sin, one day when taken to heaven. I'm thankful for my salvation. Salvation is made possible through the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'd like to spend a few moments initially just referring to the death of Christ. We believe, as Bible-believing Christians, that the death of Christ was a full payment for our sin. When Jesus Christ died, He died for my sins completely. 1 Peter, please, chapter 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 verses 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse number 18, please. down to verse 21. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you. And note verse 21. Who by him do believe in God, and raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Go to chapter 2, please, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, when we make reference to the death of Jesus Christ, we believe that Jesus' death was, the death of Christ was a full payment for our sin. In other words, as Bible-believing Christians, salvation is found in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. His death, apart from our works, has the power to redeem mankind from sin. So in other words, it's not a matter of the death of Christ plus my self-effort. It is alone in the death of Christ as the complete payment for our sin. So we believe that full payment for sin was made in the death of Christ. So when Jesus Christ cried out from that cross, "It is finished," he made reference to the fact that I am paying in full in my death for your sins. See? That is very, very important. Otherwise, to what avail? What portion does the death of Christ, as opposed to my self-efforts, play in salvation? It doesn't make sense. Either the death of Christ is enough, or you are left hanging concerning how much do I need to perform in order to earn God's merit of everlasting life. But the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ paid in full for our sins in his bodily and visible death. Also, we believe in the vicarious death of Christ. That simply means that Jesus Christ died in our place. In Romans, please. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Note there verse 8. But God commendeth or demonstrates his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we believe in the vicarious death of Christ. That simply means that Jesus Christ died alone in our place for our sins. See? Jesus Christ paid for our sins fully in his own body, the vicarious death of Christ. We do not believe, like the Roman Catholics believe, in a co-redeemer in Mary. They believe that Jesus Christ plus Mary equates to salvation. That is blasphemy. That is blasphemy. Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins fully. He died in my place. He didn't need any help from anybody else. And he was the only one that was qualified to pay for sins because he was the Lamb of God without sin. See? So we believe the death of Christ paid fully for our sins. We believe in the vicarious death of Christ. That is, he died in our place. We also believe, as Bible-believing Christians, in the fact that the Lord Jesus made atonement for our sins once and for all in His death. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. The Lord Jesus made atonement for our sins once and for all in His death. Here in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 to 12, the Bible reads, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Salvation involves an atonement, which deals with the covering down through the Old Testament economy. God's representatives, His priests, would make sacrifices, and the blood of animals would be shed. And these animals made atonement for sin. In other words, they provided a covering for sin. Not the removal of sin, but a covering for sin. With the foresight that one day God will provide an ultimate sacrifice. And this Lamb of God, this Messiah, will deal with sin once and for all. So down through the Old Testament economy, as the priest made those animal sacrifices, there was an atonement being made. There was a covering placed upon those sins. But it was insufficient, because it was looking forward to the Lamb of God, the Messiah, that will one day deal with sin once and for all. And as Bible-believing Christians, we believe that salvation involves this atonement, which deals with the covering of our sin, but ultimately the final removal of our sin in the death of Jesus Christ. And this is what the book of Hebrews makes reference to, this once-for-all sacrifice. Christ died once for all for our sins. So down through the Old Testament economy, blood was shed. A covering was provided over sin. No forgiveness. No forgiveness. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He was that Lamb of God that paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. And the Bible teaches us that God was satisfied with His sacrifice. And He sat down at the right hand of God the Father. So Jesus Christ, in His death, provided final and complete atonement, that is the removal of our sin in His death. There is also another very important word concerning the death of Christ, and it's the word propitiation. Let's go to 1 John, please, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4, please, verse number 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means to be satisfied, to be well pleased. So God the Father was well pleased with the death of His Son. His blood that was shed, His body that was broken, Jesus Christ demonstrates His love for us in becoming our propitiation, satisfying through His death the demands of God the Father. So the death of Christ was complete in the provision of salvation. It was vicarious, that is, Jesus Christ died in our place. It involves final atonement. Jesus Christ once and for all paid for our sins in His death. But also it was a satisfying death. It satisfied the demands of God the Father, who demanded perfection. And He that was without sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So God's holiness, God's holy wrath against sin was satisfied in the death of Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed by the death of Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. The death of Christ not only satisfies the demands of God's holiness, but also it's in the death of Christ that we are redeemed. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The death of Christ provides redemption. As Bible-believing Christians, we believe that our salvation involves the fact that we have been purchased. Purchased from the slave market of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been set free from the power of sin. And we are reminded of that very fact here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Bible teaches us we've been bought with a price. That price was the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ was shed through His death on our behalf. We've been redeemed. Once we were slaves to sin, but we've been set free in Jesus Christ. We've been purchased with a price. And therefore the Bible teaches us in verse number 20, glorify God in your body and your spirits, which now belong to God. The principle of reconciliation. The death of Christ brings reconciliation between a holy God and a sinful man. Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not removed away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So it's via the death of Christ, the Bible teaches us, that we are reconciled back to God. Reconciliation has been made possible through the death of Christ. We've been reconciled to God. Reconciliation between a holy God and sinful man. This reconciliation provided through the death of Christ. Redemption, propitiation. The death of Christ fulfilled the demands of a holy God. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died fully for our sins. And therefore, by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast, the Bible teaches us. Jesus Christ, in His death, burial, and resurrection, died for the sins of humanity. provide salvation for men, women and children. And in God's sight we are declared justified. Go to Romans chapter 3, please. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Justification refers to a Christian declared sinless before a holy God. We are righteous not because of our own efforts. We are made righteous because of what Christ has done for us. Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross and has made us righteous in the sight of Almighty God. Here in Romans chapter 3 verse 24, the Bible teaches us, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Note the word justified. The word justified means just as I have had never sinned. Through the eyes of Christ, God sees you and I justified. We are righteous, not because of what we have done, but based upon what Christ has done on our behalf. Also, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, please. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, reconciliation, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Note verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I'm thankful that in Jesus Christ I am justified. I cannot justify myself before holy God, but the death of Christ justified me once and for all. And when God the Father looks down upon His children, through the eyes of Christ, He sees justification. These individuals are justified. They are righteous in my sight through the death of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ died fully for my sins. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ died in my place. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ made atonement for my sin once and for all. I'm thankful that I've been redeemed. I'm thankful that I've been reconciled back to God. I'm thankful for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That makes provision for man's salvation. And by faith and in repentance, men, women and children can receive eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Acts chapter 20, please. The book of Acts chapter 20. Verse number 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, this evening, if you have yet to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, may I encourage you by stressing once again that God loves you. Christ died for you. Jesus Christ was buried. Jesus Christ arose from the dead. For your sins, for my sins. He paid in full. He died in your place. He wants to redeem you. He wants to satisfy the holy demands of God Almighty. Appease His wrath by becoming your Saviour. And my friend, if you will repent, turn to Christ and by faith receive Him as Saviour, acknowledging your need of a Saviour, believing the gospel that Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and by faith receive Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you can be redeemed. You can be delivered from the slave market of sin, so to speak, and be set free become a child of God. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for the forgiveness that is found in the blood of Christ. 1 John, please, chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 1. Not only does Jesus Christ provide salvation for all through His precious blood, but He also enables us to fellowship with our Creator. In 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7, 8 and 9. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful for the forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ through the shedding of His blood. And not only forgiveness, but fellowship. We can fellowship with the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the Creator of the universe. And as we approach our Lord's table this evening, this is just another opportunity to fellowship with the One that died in our place, paid in full for my sin, for your sin, in order to redeem us, in order to reconcile us, in order to satisfy the demands of a holy God, in order to justify us. I'm thankful for the body that was broken and the blood that was shed. And as the Lord Jesus assembled His disciples together, He took unleavened bread, and as He began to break bread, He said, "This represents my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then the Bible teaches us that He took the fruit of the vine, pure grape juice, and as He passed that juice around, He said, "This represents my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. For as oft as you break this bread and drink of this cup, you do show forth my death till I come." And this evening we have the privilege of being assembled around our Lord's table. It is a privilege. It is a privilege. And my friend, this evening, the Bible teaches us, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them," that is the church, "about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." So we find within the life of the early New Testament church that once a person received Jesus Christ as their Savior, they were immediately baptized by immersion. And upon their baptism, they were joined in fellowship, joined in membership to a local church. And within that local church, they continued to uphold the apostles' doctrine. They fellowshiped together. They prayed together. And they broke bread together. And as we partake of our Lord's table this evening, this is to be done in remembrance of what Christ has done. And we've just hit some high points this evening concerning the death of Christ. And I'd like to just encourage you, as we partake at our Lord's table, be mindful of what Christ has done in order to provide salvation for you and I. It was at a price. His own death. His body was broken. His blood was shed. That through the death, burial, and ultimate resurrection of Christ, we that have placed our faith in Christ alone enjoy the privilege of being justified, forgiven, reconciled, the privilege of fellowship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And my friend this evening, if you are a Christian, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Saviour, and upon that confession you've been scripturally baptised by immersion, and you are in complete agreement with our doctrines and practices here as a New Testament church, as we so heartily believe that we continue in the Apostles' doctrine, and you believe that your heart is as clean and as pure as it could possibly be, well, we invite you to partake with us as we fellowship one with another around our Lord's table, but ultimately we fellowship with our Lord. We focus upon Him whose body was broken and whose blood was shed. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.